Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you. And I have a question. How did you spend your teenage summers? Maybe like all the kids in my town, you worked at an amusement park.
Can you give me a t-shirt, please?
Here, I have a resume. I don't know if you still want to take a look at it.
James, am I pronouncing that right? James?
James?
Yeah. Okay, by accepting this t-shirt, you are...
Hired.
Maybe you were a counselor at sleepaway camp?
Andy, are you going to clean that up?
Oh, yeah. I will. I don't have time right now.
Clean it up and come to my office for the meeting.
God, that sounds familiar. How about the all-important informal economy of the American kid, the banana stand?
Two sticks and extra chocolate. Is it Mardi Gras? What are you charging for that?
He doesn't like to discuss money.
I don't like to discuss money.
What does that mean? You don't pay for it?
A Bluth banana? No, I hadn't planned on it.
Now, summer jobs like the one made famous by Arrested Development's George Michael Bluth there, they're in decline by a lot. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the number of teens and young adults looking for employment declined steadily over the 90s and the 2000s. It's only now leveling off. In 1989, 8 in 10 American kids had official summer jobs, the paycheck kind. Today, it's only 6 in 10. That's a big drop. There are those who are quick to call the youth of today lazy compared to last generations. But for some young adults, it's just not that simple. And for those who can't find or won't find a summer job, they might be missing out on learning an important set of skills that come along with that very first gig. Joining us now, Sarah Bird Sharp. She's co-director of Measure of America, a research nonprofit studying well-being in the United States. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
And Sarah, youth unemployment you found is an important part of well-being. Are American kids missing out on something important here?
Absolutely. So we are, as you said, we're interested in well-being and measuring well-being, and we tend very much to talk about well-being looking at money metrics, and we're really focusing on people metrics, what you know people are doing. And one really fundamental measure of that is how kids are doing in their transition to adulthood. And so we're looking a lot at kids' employment and kids in school, and particularly at a population of kids who are doing neither. We call them disconnected youth.
Sarah, why are so many millions of kids not working now when they used to? Why is this number dropped off?
Well, I would say the summer employment issue is really a lot to do with structural changes in our economy. So there are fewer low-wage jobs, you know, temporary low-wage jobs than there used to be, partly because some of those jobs have gotten automated and the economy is changing. I think school year is getting longer in some cases, and so there's less time to have a job. I think that, you know, definitely youth employment in the long term is declining.
Now, the recession, of course, is part of this. Everybody has fewer jobs. That's easy to understand. But these declines, like I said, they started way before the recession. American kids just aren't going for jobs the way they used to. Structural changes in the economy, but the attitude of kids themselves, are people now going for resume builders, internships? You know, I'm not going to get ahead flipping burgers for the summer. I need to go get a job at the accounting office. Has that changed?
I think that's a piece of it. I mean, I think there's a bunch of factors that are both because kids are making different decisions than they used to and also because of the economy. I wouldn't say it's because kids aren't interested in working over the summer at all. I think that the interest pretty much remains the same.
So what are they missing out on specifically? What types of skills? Look, paycheck, obviously, learning to deal with your boss, sure. What do we know about what kids are really missing out on, whether they can't find work or just don't because they'd rather do something else? What's the consequence here?
Yeah, I would say the research that we've been focusing on is kind of the hardcore kids who try and who wish they could find jobs but are unable. And those kids really struggle. And, you know, one of the things they're missing out on is a sense of purpose, a place to go every day. And that, you know, as a starter is really a difficult situation. And kids who don't have that experience, it can really sow the seeds of hopelessness for them that last for a long time. And it can also sort of arrest their possibility of starting to build a network, a professional network, having mentors who care about them and support them, having somebody every day who's giving them guidance. And so these kids who we've been looking at, these disconnected youth, are really at a serious disadvantage.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I mean, what do we know specifically from your research about how searching for a job at 16 and not finding it, for example, or 17 or 18, affects, you know, performance in school or getting into college or the quality of that first full-time job when you're 22 or 24. There has to be a knock-on effect, I assume.
What we found in our most recent calculations is that there are 5.5 million kids today in the United States who are in the 16 to 24-year age range who are neither working nor in school. That's like bigger than the population of 30 states. So that's too many kids. And the majority of those kids come from poor households. They tend to be low-income minority kids. And those are the kids that we're really targeting in our research to understand where they live, what are the challenges they're facing, and what are some of the solutions.
Okay, so what do we know then about the dollar spent on investment, whether it's a summer youth employment program? There's a big one in Washington where I'm from. People are comfortable with a big government program in the district like that. It's popular. But it may be a corporate internship program. It may be a nonprofit. All different ways to get kids out of idleness, if that's what they're doing, and onto a track.
I mean, I would say that the cost of these kind of programs is peanuts compared to the cost of not doing it. So we're paying already in terms of incarceration costs and Medicaid cost and public assistance. We might as well pay in terms of good programs and good schools. It actually costs less to prevent kids from, dropping out of high school and being disconnected than it does to pay for the crisis, the full-blown crisis that happens when we don't.
You can go to our website at thetakeaway.org and see the steady decline of youth employment. There's a chart there that is actually overwhelming to the eye. There is no doubt way fewer American kids are working in the summer than used to. Sarah Bird Sharp is co-director of Measure of America. Sarah Bird Sharp, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you. We've been asking you about your best and worst summer jobs. What did you learn?
This is Bill calling from Lansdale, Pennsylvania. My worst summer job was working food service at Hershey Park. This experience was a major motivator behind me going to college. I can't say I have a dream job now, but at least when I get home, I don't smell like hamburger grease and funnel cake batter.
Yes, Bill, Hershey Park, it was by far the biggest summer employer for the 16 to 24 set in my hometown of Hershey. Now, I was proud as a kid to have never worked the Comet roller coaster or the ripoff games at Hershey Park. But in Hershey, no one escapes the Death Star, okay? I worked summers at Friendly's Restaurant, owned by Hershey Foods Corporation at the time. Dirty dishes and a manager straight out of Office Space.
That would be great. Okay.
Sure. I almost got fired for messing around with the corporate program suggestive selling lines we were supposed to say to push fried cheese sticks or the latest embarrassingly named sundae. I'd say, welcome to Friendly's. I'm Todd and I'll be your server. Hershey Foods Corporation requires me to mention the sassy summer sundae to you in this introduction. You are not required to purchase this sundae. Now, customers laughed. They loved it. I got great tips for this shtick. Manager Donnie was not impressed. I can tell you that. But here's what I learned. $2 tips, rude tourists, being on your feet for 8-hour stretches of mad rush. I was 17. Lots, and I mean lots of people I worked with, weren't doing that job until September. They were doing it for the foreseeable future. And going home after that insane shift to see their kids with what I can tell you was just a few dollars in their pocket. I learned that my summer job that paid for gas for my beater car was a lot of parents' livelihoods. And it was hard.
This is Lois from Harlem. One college summer I worked in a greenhouse stapling artificial ferns together. I had to shower off the green dye every night. What I learned was how some people have to take numbing jobs under oppressive working conditions with no rights and try to make the best of it.
More from you on what you learned from your summer job experiences from Bern, Washington. My best summer job was working as a maid in a hotel in Bavaria. I was fresh out of college working in Europe on a whim. What a breeze, I thought. I learned what it was like to be the worker who didn't speak the language or how to make a bed German style. A humbling experience, but I learned from my coworkers and eventually became a really good maid, an accomplishment I'm still proud of.
My name is Brenda Chambers Threed, and I'm calling from Southfield, Michigan. Working in a General Motors plant as vacation replacement during the summer while I was a college student. I remember watching people on the line doing the same thing over and over. I remember my first paycheck was a lot of money, but my father, who was a millwright at that same factory, told me, don't even think about quitting college. He told my brother and me that he worked in a factory so we wouldn't have to. Working there that summer taught me to respect and admire all people, even the man who was paid to sweep the floors. It also taught me the value of an education.
Your best and worst summer jobs, those are great. Keep them coming.